Welcome to Zuma Worldwide's Health Education Conference Call. This recording is for educational purposes only. The name brand products referenced are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate any disease or illness. Health testimonies represent the personal experiences of the individuals and should not be viewed as medical advice. Please enjoy today's call.
Good evening, Zuma family. This is Zach Howell from the Zuma Home Office, and just want to welcome you all to Zuma's Health Education Call. I'm going to be joined this evening by our very own Dr. Melissa Bennett, a member of our Scientific Advisory Board, and Dr. Bennett's also a naturopathic doctor and a health practitioner. She's working with patients each and every day in her practice in Georgia. Helping many people find more abundant health in more natural and holistic ways. And I know tonight she's going to be talking about inflammation and some really good information that I'm looking forward to hearing about. So, Dr. Melissa Bennett, are you out there with us tonight?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can, yeah. How are you?
I'm doing well. You might hear my dog in the background, but just ignore
okay.
him. He always interrupts.
No worries. No worries, no worries. I got to tell you, but you know, a little while earlier this evening, I was Googling the news related articles related to inflammation, and it's absolutely incredible how many things are
Isn't
coming back, and it's wild. You know, just so many different and lots of people. You know, I'm seeing lots of our top athletes in the Major League Baseball and the NBA. Names popping up. I mean, people that we know that are in good health and good shape and yet still struggling with this this condition. And so I'm looking forward to all that you have to share tonight, and I'm standing by if I can be of any help anywhere along the way.
All right, that's awesome. Like you said, tonight we're going to talk about inflammation. You know, when you hear about inflammation, we always think, typically when you think of inflammation, you think of those aspirin commercials, Tylenol commercials, people having headaches, and it's pain, suffering, joint pain, and that is true, but it's not always a bad thing. In fact, it's something that we need to kind of stand back and go, wow, you know what, inflammation gets a bad rap, but not necessarily it's all bad. It's when we have too much of something that it can be, you know, more detrimental to the person. And you know, I guess, Zach, when you see these people, too, a lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon now, and including me. I have to say I do the same thing with anti-inflammatory everything, anti-inflammatory diets, anti-inflammatory supplements, anti-inflammatory medications. And then everybody's giving out all these, you know, all different advice to help. I think there's a product called, I don't know if I want to say the name, something about Relief. You know, it's like a big seller online, where everybody's kind of going in and they're talking about all their pains that they're having. So it's definitely like one of those words that everyone's just saying, okay, inflammation is the thing that we're dealing with and we have a cure for that. And we do, because there's so many things out there that can help. But we also have to look, like I said, at the other side of inflammation. And we know, you know, from the standpoint that it does cause disease, and we know it does do that, but we really have to understand that it's not always negative, even though we want to avoid it. We need to understand it, and that's what I'm going to do tonight, is kind of break it down a little bit so it's a little more complicated than what we think, because when we think about it, we're thinking of it as a villain, but really it's more of a hero than an enemy. So we know that inflammation is what conquers infections. And we know that from that, the inflammation also, if you have just enough, can actually be cancer preventative. Even when you're having a cold, inflammation serves a really good purpose, because your body starts to kind of, you know, react because it's inflamed, but then that's setting up the immune system to take care of what you're exposed to. And if you've ever played tennis or if you play any type of sport, inflammation actually helps with injuries, especially if you're recovering, you know, you've got that recover inflammation. It works from the standpoint that you can hurt yourself, but at the same time, you have to kind of allow your body to deal with it from the beginning and let it kind of happen. And I'm not saying that to give any medical advice, but just from personal experience, I broke my ankle a while back playing tennis. And then my partner said, dang, that's the best tennis you ever played. I'm like, well, I didn't even move. And they're like, that's why. Because I'm overrunning the ball all the time and running faster than the ball. But this time I hurt my ankle, didn't realize that it was actually broken. And I was just standing there with this hurt foot and playing really well. But, you know, when I got home, all of a sudden, it's like it starts to swell up, and it just this horrible, huge, looks like a melon. And I didn't do anything with it at the very beginning. I know we're supposed to do everything, you know, start to ice it. We're supposed to raise it. I know all the things to do. But I actually just kind of dealt with it just for a little bit, because I'm realizing it, the reason it's swelling is because there's a reaction going on in my body that's actually a healing process that's happening, and I had to let it do that for a minute so I could let my body kind of take care of itself, and then I did all the right things that you're supposed to do whenever you have any type of inflammation. And it healed beautifully, and I don't have a problem with it. So we know now, you know, that the problem is not the actual inflammatory process, but it's when you allow it to keep going up. So even at like an initial infection or after that initial injury passed away, if you don't take care of it, then you run into you're leading to long-term issues with it. So you definitely want to handle it, and you want to make sure that inflammation is not going to be something that you're dealing with long-term. And people don't realize that there's certain things that are linked to inflammation that, you know, they're not even thinking about. So a lot of times people have obviously heart disease, you know, cancer, type 2 diabetes, depression, Alzheimer's disease. We think about those illnesses, and they're actually more prevalent as we get older a lot of times. So a lot of times as we get older, the more inflamed we can become. So that's when the inflammation can kind of go wacky, and it can cause something called an autoimmune issue, and that's where the body starts to attack at the good tissue. So you'll see that when you see things like arthritis, especially rheumatoid arthritis, or when you see something called psoriasis. You know, and I'm noticing now there's a lot more psoriasis. You'll notice this too, a lot more medications targeting psoriasis since COVID. If you're watching TV, you'll be like, wow, every third commercial has to do with psoriasis. So that's an inflammatory process. You also see that in MS, inflammation, Crohn's disease. And you'll see these things flare up when your immune system basically starts to attack itself. And you're going to, you know, I think one of the things that we kind of get used to is pain. We just say, okay, you know what? I have a little bit of pain, and you just kind of let it go, and you're not really thinking about it. And then it's like your body builds up a tolerance to it, and then you just kind of keep it going for, you know, several years. And I know this because my aunt lives with me, and her hip has been bothering her for many, many years. And I'm like, there's so many things you could do with this, but she's just so used to the pain that a lot of times people become so accustomed to being inflamed that they don't take action because they just think, well, that's just part of aging. You know, that's just what's going on. And there's so many cool things that you can do, you know, to actually, and I'm going to go over those to actually downplay that inflammation. And speaking of inflammation with COVID, we're also seeing that people with long haul COVID, that's definitely linked to inflammation. And it's a theory that what causes COVID-19 to linger longer in some people is an inflammatory process. And I've been personally really looking into this, as many of you know. And just because I've had a family issue or with horrible issues since COVID, trying to figure out like what actually happened to the brain. And honestly, it is an inflammatory process. And COVID, for some reason, for some people, attacks instead of like the lungs and the sinus issue areas, it goes right to the brain and starts to attack that area, and it causes really bad insomnia and all kinds of stuff. So that's an inflammatory process that we do not need to deal with. And my faith says, right, that God has an answer to anything that man has created. So there's going to be a solution. But again, this is a place where inflammation has went the wrong way, and it's causing a lot, wreaking havoc, which is really, really bad. So when you look at, you know, your regular immune system and you think about how it works, you have to kind of envision it like a guard. Like there's guards standing out in front of a fort, and it's waiting on an attack. So as soon as that attack happens, that starts the whole inflammatory process. So once your immune system, you know, detects something's wrong, all these cell types come to the aid of your immune system. So basically, you have things called mast cells. You've got to, these things start to dilate the blood vessels. They produce these inflammatory molecules called histamines. And then you'll have these neutrophils that produce toxins. And they actually make like this mesh-like structure that attacks. And the most amazing thing about that is they're all working together. It's such a cool concept when you think about it. Like the whole, all the cells just come together to try to fix and help your body do what it needs to do. And when you look at the neutrophils, they actually have like little, they lasso the bacteria, and then the macrophages come and they digest it. So it's just so cool. I just loved watching that whole thing take place. It's kind of like a, it's like an orchestra of cells, and they all help. But at the same time, you know, they're also creating an inflammatory process. And it's like a little miniature war that's going on inside our bodies. And after that, basically, you have these other cells, dendritic cells, that come, and they say, okay, we're going to make this body have a long-term immune response. So that's how you can be positive for COVID, and then you get over COVID, but then you can go to LabCorp and get like a COVID antibody test, and you'll still have antibodies to COVID because these other cells have kind of came in and said, okay, we are going to recognize this when it comes back to us again. And that's how you end up with antibodies. So it creates like this lasting memory of whatever just attacks you. And then you'll have these little tiny proteins. They're called cytokines. And they come in and they also create more of an inflammatory response. But they're all doing a job. And so whenever things are doing a job, we want to let them kind of do what they need to do, you know, short term. So let's say people, like cytokines, produce fevers in people. So the first thing someone does when they get a fever is usually they'll go run and take, you know, medication to, because they don't like how the fever makes you feel. But now doctors are saying, you know what, maybe you don't need to do that right at the beginning, because the fever is your innate way the body is trying to fight off, and it's an inflammatory response, and it's trying to fight off whatever is attacking you. And when you take something too soon, it's like you're kind of defeating the process, because you're lowering your body's innate ability to do what it needs to do. And so that's one of the things that I really kind of tell people to do. I mean, don't let it get out of hand, obviously, but if you have a low-grade fever, it's not a bad idea to just let it run a little bit so that your body is kind of, you know, picking up its game and figuring out what to do. A lot of times, too, you have to look at, you know, this amazing pathway of inflammation, and they're all simultaneously going on all at once. So that's just the great part of inflammation. It's just, like I said, an orchestra of good things. But you also don't ever, you know, I tell people that, and I'm like, let's do things. I always tell Ken this, in moderation. Like, don't let things get totally out of balance. I mean, you've got to use, you know, common sense when you're dealing with something like that. But, you know, at the same time, you want to still let your body do what it needs to do. And I think one of the things that we do as a society is we're so used to having a quick fix with everything that we really want to just get something immediately and take care of it, when really we're interfering a little bit, right? But the same thing happens if you don't take care of something that's ongoing, and you, it's like driving a car around and you've got a red light going on and you just keep driving it. And then you're like, you know what, that light's on and I need to take care of it, but I'm letting it go too long. That's when you run into a problem, because then you go from, you know, inflammation that's trying to help the body to something called chronic inflammation. And that's when you run into people that have like painful joints, they have osteoarthritis, and that affects about 80% of people over 55. So that's a huge thing. So I have to do a little testimony here, and I always share this whenever I talk about osteoarthritis. I went through 2 years of chemo and like 46 radiation treatments between 33 and 35 years old. And that was like 24 years ago. It was a long time ago, right? But when I finished it, they said, oh, you've got like osteopenia because the chemo really attacked my bones. But I guess it was about 5 years ago, I was getting a DEXA scan at Emory. I was taking a class, some classes there, and they did a DEXA scan as part of the class. And my bones were like in my 20s again. It was so cool. And I was like, what have I been doing, you know, all this time? Because typically when you have something like osteopenia, it progresses into osteoporosis. It's kind of like one of the things that you see. But in my my situation, it did not. And I really contribute that to, first, a prayer that I got over my bones, because I always give God the glory for these things, but also getting introduced to those little sachets, the X2O, because the calcium, magnesium, the trace minerals in that X2O is so easily absorbed into the body, and it really helps. Just, I feel like it really helps the bones. I've heard other people tell me that they've had good success with that. I know we can't make claims here with that, but I know from personal use that I really do contribute, you know, not going, progressing into something that's really bad, to give credit to the X2O for that, which I think is really cool. So if you, like back to this, so if you see inflammation, especially musculoskeletal pain, you have to have that nice balance in controlling it. So you got to help it. It's essential for healing and repairing damage. That's the acute inflammation. But then at the same time, you want to make sure that the chronic issue is taken care of as well. Now, for musculoskeletal issues, I love chiropractic. Obviously, for that, I just think that's a wonderful way to kind of go in and gently, you know, allow the body to heal itself by gently adjusting the bones. And really, they can use different techniques like activators. They can do dental adjustments just to stimulate like nerve, the nerves to go out to, there's my dog, I told you he was going to be there, but nerves to kind of go down from the brain. And if you picture like your house, when you think about chiropractic, it's like you turn on a light switch and all of the lights come on. Well, how does that work, right? It's kind of the same thing with your brain. When you're getting an adjustment, you're letting that electrical energy, you know, from the brain, the hypothalamus, everything kind of goes out to the organ system. So you see really neat things happening in chiropractic that are not necessarily always related to pain, but people get really good results from pain. So with chiropractic, there's also some other things that people have used for inflammation, and as far as the chronic type of inflammation, one of them is PRP. This basically is platelet-rich plasma. In the practice that I was in, basically that's what they did. They would kind of treat more chronic types of pain like tendonitis and arthritis, and what they do is they take your own blood and they spin it really, really fast, and they spin it down rapidly, and when they do that, it filters out all your red blood cells, and then it isolates only the platelets. And the platelets are essential for clotting. So we know platelets clot, and they're full of anti-inflammatory growth factors. So what they would do is they'd spin it down and then give you shots of your own platelets, which is really cool because they started seeing a lot of results for inflammation by doing this. And I'm not sure. I didn't investigate on who actually came up with the idea of doing that, but someone had to figure out like, well, there's anti-inflammatory properties in our own body, you know, let's just take that and reuse it and kind of recycle it. And now it's used for everything, though. They use it for cosmetics. If you go in, they're using it in neurology. So they're just using it all across the board, this PRP. But that's something
that's someone has too, I think, right?
Yeah. Oh, and hair, but for sure. We used to do that in that office as well. You just put it through a cap, and basically you would start getting these PRP in the scalp to help grow that. So that's kind of a cool thing. If people haven't heard of it, you can look into that. I think, you know, people don't want to use needles because some people do not want to use needles. You can also use cold exposure because that's one of the big things that's coming out as well. And that, you know, we always hear about putting ice on the area that's hurt, but some people take it to a whole different level. So it's become one of the most leading processes you can go to a therapy center, and you'll see these places popping up with cryotherapy. And they're selling, like, I mean, it's going nuts out here with, like, thousands of dollars. People get to jump in, you know, to these, to the water. They get cold exposure. And it actually does two different things. It clears inflammation, but it also helps them with their health and their mental health, which I thought was really cool. Because I met a guy the other day, and he was talking about how he first started doing this cold exposure by just jumping into his bathtub with a lot of ice. And he ended up going into a creek and then jumping in and out. And he said it changed his whole life. I mean, it was something so simple. But he said he's not been the same. And this man had a lot of mental health issues, and he was severely depressed and actually had went into a psychiatric hospital. But the one thing that really helped him is, and he's not on any medication right now, is jumping in and out of cold. So the way you can do it at home is basically when you're in your shower, you can turn it from hot, you know, you're on hot water, just switch it over to cold, and then back to hot again. I think it's really important. You get kind of go back and forth, and it helps with circulation, but it also resets that parasympathetic nervous system. And it's something simple that you can do. And there's not a lot of research on it, but sometimes we just have to go with the fact that it's helping people, and everybody's going through different things, and some things will help people and some things won't help someone else. But that doesn't mean you throw out the baby with the bathwater, the cold bathwater. You don't do that. You just got to say, okay, I'll try it. If it works for me, then that's a good thing. And I also recommend for inflammation castor oil packs. If you go to the oliveleaf.com, that's my website, you can see I have a health blog. And on that health blog, I have directions on how to make a castor oil pack. And this is so inexpensive. It's basically, you can get a castor oil pack for maybe under $10. And it has, castor oil has anti-inflammatory benefits. I used to have a patient, this little older lady named Betty, and I loved her so much. And she used to see me every 2 weeks. But her chiropractor referred her over to me, which I thought was funny because I'm a naturopathic doctor. He's a chiropractor, but he referred her over to me to help her with a torn meniscus she had behind her knee, and it was so painful. And she was looking to get some relief, so I just told her to, you know, take a castor oil pack, put on the back of her leg, and there's a certain way of doing it where you take a cloth, you saturate it in castor oil, and it needs to be good castor oil, not there's certain castor oils that I would buy it from a health food store, not just, you know, order it. I'd go to a health food store and get it. But you put that cloth down, you put a little piece of saran, like plastic, over that in a hot water bottle, not an electric heating pad, but just a hot water bottle, and leave it there for like 20 minutes. And it's amazing. It helped her like 90% relieve pain out of the back of her knee, which was torn. I was like, that was so cool. So I definitely recommend using that. The other thing that we talk about with inflammation besides cold is obviously heat. It's another way to address inflammation. So you can go to saunas, and we found that if you go to the sauna, people who go to actual like infrared saunas, they can lower their risk of heart disease, and because they're raising their body temperature. And it's just been shown in Finland also to help with depression, with cancer. It suppresses those pro-inflammatory pathways and enhances anti-inflammatory ones. So people, like I said, with heart failure, they within 2 weeks of bathing in like a hot springs led to a drop in all of their inflammatory molecules. So it's just been amazing, like being in a something. I mean, it'd be nice if we all had like a hot springs right beside us, right? We don't have that, but we do have access to saunas, like infrared saunas and things like that. So it might be something to look at, not when it's right at the onset. Again, you don't want to use heat like right when you first start hurting, but if it's a chronic issue, sometimes heat can be really, really good. And there's ways of, you know, checking. Some people are, well, I don't know if I'm inflamed or not. I don't have any pain, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything, because you can have inflammation that's chronic that is not resulting in like any specific pain, but it's resulting in disease. And that's the bad kind of inflammation. You don't want that. So you can get your doctor to check a CRP level, which is a C-reactive protein level. And also you can ask if they'll check your homocysteine levels. But sometimes they'll say, no, we won't do that because you have to have a heart attack before we check those levels. But you could ask them because that's a good inflammation marker specifically for the heart. And I think, you know, any way of keeping tabs on your inflammatory levels is very, very important because you need to know so you can take action. And as a naturopath, obviously, I am not going to prescribe any medication, and I will not even discuss pain medication. But, you know, there's a lot of pain medication out there on the market. There's a lot that's some of it's good. Some of it is more, you know, addictive. So you have to be careful with that and make sure you have a good doctor, a good pain management doctor that knows how to titrate it up and then titrate it down and using all of that. Now, I personally do use certain things from a supplement standpoint to help with inflammation. But the main thing I use in my practice that I have got such amazing results. In fact, if they just go to Google and they put in the olive leaf and make sure you put THE in front of it, the olive leaf, my Google reviews pop up on the right-hand side, and they all have to do with this program I have, which is called Shape Reclaimed. And this program has been, besides Zuma, the best thing I've added to my practice. It's a health restoration program. And what it does, it lowers inflammation, and it uses a homeopathic, which targets all the different organ systems. It's anti-inflammatory, so I put the patients on a low-inflammatory diet consisting of low-inflammatory foods. I take them off sugar. I also take them off dairy and gluten for a period of time, and I use this homeopathic remedy along with the X2O sachets. And I feel like the combination of getting the body mineralized and alkalized is so important. And I also use that homeopathic remedy along with the X2O. And I just see like amazing things happen. So every week when someone comes in, and I also do these remotely, like throughout the United States, I'll have people that call me up and they might be in a different state and I'll put them on that program. But every week I'm checking their urine strips and I'm checking their pH. So when I first start them out, I'm checking their ketosis as well and all these other markers, but I'm really looking at their pH and their hydration. So when they first come in, typically they're dehydrated. Their pH is like 5.0 on a UA stick. And then as I put them on the S2O, all of a sudden every week I'm monitoring them so I can see their hydration, you know, it's the specific gravity get darker and darker. That's a sign of good hydration. And then I'll watch their pH start to move up from like 5.0 to 5.5 to 6.0. So I really feel like the sachets are a huge part of any program, no matter what you're doing. But especially if you're trying to keep inflammation down, I think that's so, so important. So, you know, when we're looking at things like this, you have to kind of go, okay, is my body inflamed, first of all? And you can tell that, like I said, with pain. If you have pain, you know you're inflamed. But if you don't know that you have, you know, pain going on, then you kind of just have to be aware that certain things are going on that could be related to inflammation that you're not even thinking of, like even headaches. If you get sick a lot, sinus problems, if you have PMS, being obese, joint problems, you would know that. High blood pressure is a sign of inflammation, heart disease, the IBS, anything with the gut could be inflammation inside the gut, and IBD. There's just so many factors that if you're diagnosed with something, typically you have to look at the cause, and the cause goes back to dehydration and inflammation specifically. And if you don't know if you have inflammation, there is a test that you can get. I saw it online. It's like $100, and you could get the lab to check your inflammation markers to see if that's it. But you can always get that CRP, the one I was talking about, that C-reactive protein, when you go to your doctor. And that's going to go up in the liver. So if you see CRP rising, it's a protein, and it goes up within hours of an infection, and it breaks down really quickly. So it's really good if you have a bacterial infection, you use that CRP. But if it stays up and it doesn't go down, it means there's something chronic that's going on in your body that's inflamed. So that means that you have to take action. You have to do your homework. You have to figure out exactly what's causing inflammation. And if it's a chronic issue, it's specifically done usually by an elimination diet, using low inflammatory foods. And then also there's, taking certain supplements, which are really good. The other thing I want to talk about are supplements really quick, and I'm trying to cram this into the space. So it's really good to know, like, what you can use. Like I said, we're all individuals, so some things don't work as well as others. But we came a long way, right, since we were bloodletting, at least I think. I don't think it was doing that these days. But and using willow bark. But, there are certain key components of what they're doing that they're using the things that were old and just making them into something new and patenting them and calling them a drug, right? So when we look at, like, willow bark, we think of aspirin. When you look back at certain things that are made, there's certain herbs and stuff that are taken and basically kind of changed and added, these certain things are added to it, and then they're able to patent it. And honestly, I think that's why natural health care back in the day, they just started really saying, hey, we're not going to really use that. There's no money to be made in it. These are just wild herbs growing out there. There's no money. But when they turn it into a medicine, then there's millions and millions of dollars to be made off of that. So we just want to kind of look at different things that we can use. And one of those is like a white willow bark. That's like a natural type of aspirin. We also want to look at turmeric, which is available in capsules. You can get them in fluid extracts. You can get them in tinctures. That's really like anti-inflammatory. That is so good, especially for cancer and things like that. That's one of the things that are recommended to support. Ginger is a relative of turmeric, and it can work if you're taking a pain medication. You can get that also with capsules, tinctures, teas, powders. And another good herb is rosemary extract. That works actually on a molecular level. And it keeps inflammation away. Now, we never really hear about rosemary extract. I mean, when you're watching TV, no one comes on and says, hey, let's go get some rosemary extract. And they don't list off any side effects of if you take too much rosemary extract, I'm sure you could, but it's not going to cause blindness or anything like that, right? So it's kind of like no one hears about these things because there's honestly hardly any money to be made within these things. But that doesn't mean they're not effective, right? It also, rosemary extract has also been shown to help with depression, anxiety, and Alzheimer's. So these things are just, if you put it on topically, it helps with pain and stiffness. So, it says in the Bible, right, that I put the herbs here for your healing. So they're all here. We just have to know about them. And I just also think that people just don't know, right? They don't know. So it's really cool to kind of get into one of these, get a nice herbal book, right? And you can kind of go through it and just kind of start looking at the different teas and the different tinctures and things like that. And you have to be, now I'm not negating the fact that herbs can be dangerous as well. You don't want to mix certain herbs with certain medications, and you definitely don't want to overdose on any type of herbs. You want to be careful with it and respect it. But also be aware that God has put everything here for our healing. We just have to know where to find it and how to use it. And once we do, it's a beautiful thing because you can see really cool things happen. I'm going to share this story really quick because it's a funny story. But years and years ago, I went to an Oktoberfest with a friend of mine, and it was dark. And, Oktoberfest, everyone had a beer. So I had a beer, and I went up to the popcorn guy. We'll never go up to the popcorn guy with a beer and ask for salt because I don't drink. And the only way I can tolerate any beer is like put a tiny bit of salt in it, like Celtic salt. But no, I'm at a popcorn stand. And of course it's dark and he's just like pouring salt into this beer. So by the time I got to my friend's house, I was spending the night with her, and I was like the state, like that big tire guy, like the Michelin man. I couldn't bend my fingers. I was so swollen. And I was like, oh, my gosh, how much salt was in this beer? So the next morning, I wake up, it's like the same way. I couldn't bend my fingers. So I look outside, and I see dandelion, right? And I'm like, but there's some dandelion root out there. And I knew my friend was very organic, so she didn't use any chemicals. So I went out, and I picked dandelion out in the yard, which isn't, you know, it's like a weed, yeah, but it's out there. And I took it, and I steeped it, and I made a tea out of it, and hopefully didn't drink any dog pee. That was my biggest concern, because I was like, oh. But I made a tea out of it, and when I did, honestly, I drank a cup of that, and all of that swelling just went away, because dandelion root is it's a diuretic. It's a natural diuretic. So it was just so simple, something that simple to use, just like castor oil packs are very simple. And, you know, hot and cold water is a very simple thing. It's just simple things sometimes we have to do, and it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be complicated or cost a fortune to do a lot of things that are very helpful. And I think that, I'm just going to rehash on that, X2O sachets, if you are mineralized, I know we focus in Zuma on alkalization, which is huge, huge part, but it's really those trace minerals that are in that sachet that are so healing for our bodies. Those trace minerals are like the things that keep they're catalysts to everything that happens on a cellular level. So we really want to focus also on the mineral content of that. I think that is so important. And, also we want to know that, I just feel like, I don't know. If we look at things very simply, we're keeping ourselves hydrated. We're eating the best that we can, but in moderation, because I'm not an extremist in that. And we are, moving, and we're getting outside in nature. We're really, just enjoying where God put us, because we're all placed here on this earth, and we're like, wow, some cool things are around that, like these little sachets that God made, not man-made. So I just think it's wonderful. And inflammation, we have to remember, we have to be, all good things are, in moderation. We have to keep our bodies in a place where we have enough inflammation to help, but not enough inflammation to hurt. So I'm going to end on that, because that's really important. Inflammatory issues are good when they're needed, but not good long-term. And they're not good if they're hidden and you don't know you have them, because that's when they can become dangerous, and that's when you have to really take action from a diet standpoint and get that inflammation level down. And I do offer that. I'm just going to say, if anyone is interested in Shape Reclaimed, that is a program that I provide everywhere. So it's something where you could go to theoliveleaf.com. If you have friends or family that are having like issues with weight, because it isn't a weight loss program, it's a health restoration program. But as you read the reviews, when you start doing that, you lose that toxic weight so fast. And it's just a wonderful program that's a blessing to offer to the community and to everywhere. So also wanted to get Zach, since I've talked so much tonight, to kind of touch on a couple of products that I think Zuma offers, that it's wonderful, like your omegas and stuff like that, for inflammation as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dr. Melissa, listen, thank you so much. Some awesome, incredible information. And I think you touched a little bit. I mean, we talked a little bit about the X2O and, yes, the omegas. And I tell you, one of the key products that we talk about a lot with regard to, helping to fight against chronic inflammation is our Cardiozyme. It's got some incredible, scientific proven ingredients that have a lot of research and a lot of investment in studies behind those ingredients to really help to reduce inflammation in the body. And Cardiozyme is just an awesome, awesome product for that. So, thank you so much. What an awesome call tonight. Some really great information. Appreciate you sharing with us all. Appreciate all of you guys joining us tonight. As you guys know, we do this call the first and third Thursday of every month. So our next health education call is going to be on May 2nd. So I hope you guys will join in. We'll have some great information, and hope you'll bring a friend with you when you do. But Dr. Melissa, thank you so much, and really appreciate you spending some time with us tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. It's just fun.
Absolutely. Have a great night, guys. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. All right. Bye-bye.